Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the solemn Holy Week and the glorious Easter are approaching us very soon, in 3 weeks. From the second Sunday in Lent through the Easter Sunday, our Gospel readings are mainly selected from the Gospel of John. These Gospel lessons are concerned in a very detailed way with the true identity of Jesus as the eternal Son of God, the Christ for the life of the world. His works as signs, his words with his disciples, the Last Supper, the Passion, his love in his sacrifice on the cross, and his glorious resurrection. On the second Sunday in Lent, we came across Nicodemus' question of Jesus about the rebirth from the Holy Spirit. Our Gospel lesson of John chapter 3 tells us Jesus is the Son of Man who will be lifted up on the cross for the salvation of the world. Whoever believes in him has eternal life. Baptism saves because Jesus' words, his sacrificial death on the cross, his resurrection, and his gift of the Holy Spirit to all the believers. In this way, we become God's dear children, having the hope of eternal life. Last Sunday, the third Sunday in Lent, we read Jesus came to the Samaritan city, Sychar, and he challenged the Samaritan woman by telling her that Jesus is the living water of eternal life. Only in Jesus' Spirit can we truly know the heart of God and worship God in truth, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the eternal life. Jesus stayed there in the city for 2 days, and the Samaritans in Sychar acknowledged that Jesus is the Savior of the world because of Jesus' word. In today's Gospel reading of John chapter 9, Jesus' identity as the Son of God, the one from God, the one sent from God, was challenged by Israel's professional religious class, the Pharisees in Jerusalem. The healing of a man born blind was described and recorded by all the four evangelists, but only the Apostle John recorded in a very detailed way and in a unique context to present the love and mercy of Jesus as the light of the world toward God's unbelieving and hostile people and the world. Jesus' power and glory lies not in his wrath, unapproachable holiness, condemnation, or severe judgment, but the clear truth from his unambiguous word, steadfast love and mercy in his sacrifice. Most of us know very well the general profile of the healing of a man born blind. This is a miracle story of a healing beggar born blind. To be exact, it is a sign story, using John's terms, to point to the glory of God with, in, and through a man from Galilee called Jesus. A beggar sitting in the darkness saw the true light, not only with his eyes, but with his faith given through the Holy Spirit by Jesus. Confessing Jesus as the Lord before the intimidating and the unbelieving Pharisees and the Jews. It was in the middle of December, before the feast of the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem, a typical dark, rainy winter season. In fact, there was only a few months before Jesus was crucified by his very own people and the Gentiles. Jesus came to Jerusalem because Jesus knew his time and he acted according to the Father's merciful and loving will. He came to Jerusalem, his Father's house, for a saving purpose. This event happened just after the unbelieving Jews, his fellow Jewish people, conspired to kill him. When Jesus forgave the sin of the woman who committed adultery and told the Jews the truth that they are in fact the slaves of sin, and they don't know and love God, and Jesus is the light of the world, the truth, and he the Son sent by the Father, and even the I am the Lord God. The Jews, and especially the Pharisees, were enraged. They thought this was blasphemy. They thought they could judge the truth and even God by themselves. Jesus came to his own, and his own people didn't receive him. This is the background of today's gospel of Jesus' healing of the beggar born blind. The confrontation between the Pharisees intensifies in our gospel reading today, at least according to our perspective. But Jesus knows his time. Jesus' disciples are curious, and in fact, their question is quite judgmental, quite like me and you. They asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus' answer was plain and firm, but with a merciful heart. "Don't waste time speculating. You know, God truly loved this beggar, this blind man. Let us work for God." For Jesus, the man, the blind man, was not an abstract theoretical problem. Rather, he is the very object of God's mercy and love. He is a fellow human being, a brother, a Jewish brother. Jesus was not an average pilgrimage to Jerusalem's temple. He truly knows his Heavenly Father's merciful heart to save Israel and all peoples from the darkness. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Jesus knows that his whole life is the Father's for the sake of the life of the world. Jesus knows the Father's heart that not even one of God's children gets lost. It is God's will that his whole creation is set free from the bondage to sin, corruption, death and Satan, and to obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Jesus opened the blind man's eye with his very hand and mouth. God comes to us personally in Jesus. The man's confession of faith was clear witness of who Christ is. Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are the one sent from God. To the Pharisees, the healing of the blind man was not a joyful event at all. Instead, this man was merely a tool, an object used by them to conspire against Jesus, to witness against Jesus. They had no real interest in the well-being of this blind man. They had no mercy on him. Like the disciples, they didn't consider the blind man as their brother and neighbor. They neither love God nor love their neighbor. They didn't know themselves. They were not Moses' disciples, as they said with their lips. As the prophet Isaiah said, they are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to the metal images, you are our gods. If they were truly Moses' disciples, they would fear, trust, and love God with their whole heart, mind, and strength above all things. They would truly love their blind neighbor as their brother, and they would acknowledge their sins and confess Jesus as their Lord and worship him like the blind man. Moses' law doesn't have a purpose to merely condemn or destroy. Rather, it has a noble purpose. For sure, Moses' law accuses and keeps sin in check, indeed. But it also points us to our merciful Lord Jesus Christ and the true faith. In Jesus' eyes, even the violent Pharisees who planned to kill him are not real God's real enemies, Jesus' enemy. As the prophet Isaiah said, and I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In path they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, and the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. Jesus knows the true heart of Moses' law. Moses' Ten Commandments accuse human beings as sinners, not just to condemn them, but to lead them to the mercy and love in Christ. Jesus' rebuking is in fact God's invitation of both the Pharisees and us to listen to God's truth and the word from Jesus in repentance and with faith. As you all know this very well, the Apostle John said, for God so loved the world that he gives his only Son, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what kind of God in Christ we have. Indeed, God is love. A love human imagination cannot fathom. He loves us, even he knows that we were darkness, like the Pharisees. He's not aloof there in heaven. No, he reaches out to us and this wicked and adulterous generation. As he reached out to the Samaritan woman, the blind man, and even the Pharisees. The man called Jesus is from God, and indeed God with us here and now. Jesus is the light of this world. He is the salvation for this world. He came to this world to save us, even including the Pharisees who planned to kill him. He came to his world to do his Father's will as the Father's humble servant and only Son. He gave us life so that we can have eternal life in baptism through water and his word of promise. In his supper, the Lamb of God, the bread of life, feeds us, feeds our mouth and faith with his very body and blood. Jesus Christ promised to be with us forever. Jesus came to die for us and to give us his Holy Spirit. And now we can see the truth in the incarnate Jesus with his gift of faith. We are the dear children of God. We are no longer darkness. We are no longer living in darkness or under the power of darkness. We acknowledge our sin before our God, and he certainly forgives us in Christ according to the faithfulness of Jesus' promise. We walk in Christ's light of truth and love because Christ, the true servant of the Lord, who is with us and for us. We know God's will, the sacrificial love of Christ on the cross, to love God above all things, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. What a holy and hopeful season of Christ's resurrection. Behold, the Christ, the Lamb of God, the light of the world, the Son of God, is shining on us all. In the name of Jesus, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.